This KPCT podcast, sponsored by Clicker Expo. Take your training skills to the next level. The nation's top animal trainers work with you at Clicker Expo. For locations and dates of the next conference, visit www.clickerexpo.com or call 800-472-5425. That's 800-472-5425.
All right, now on to a real training question. What do you do the second your dog makes a mistake during either a training session and during a performance session? What's the trainer's right thing to do following a error? Karen.
Damn, I forgot to train for that.
Cool. That's it. All right. I'm guessing nobody else wants to. Maybe someone wants to add something to that. I don't know. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. No. All right. And yes, Jesus.
You should have come to my talk. Sorry if you didn't wear that.
You should what? I didn't catch that.
Should have come to his talk. Should have come to Jesus' talk.
That's not. Yeah. You don't get away with that. Do you have something else that you wish to add, Mr. Dr. Rosales Ruiz?
Well, it depends on the mistake, but you know, mistakes are easy to change depending on how you react to the mistake. And so you can chain it easy, especially if you redirect and that redirection gets reinforced. You probably are increasing that, or it's going to be more likely to do it. So the best thing is to, like you do in clicker training, ignore it and maybe think what Karen said, like it's not fluent enough or something, ignore it, get a pause, and then come back again.
So just so make sure the people understood it, if I heard you right, you're saying if you redirect and reinforce it, you'll increase the likelihood of a mistake, so that the best thing to do, similar to, is just to ignore it.
Yeah, to ignore it and wait for at least 3 seconds, and then you engage.
Well, that's different. So you can if you wait and give another cue for something else that the dog knows how to do, that's a good thing.
Yeah, or just recall it, but otherwise they're going to be chained together. And you know this. I was talking in my talk. This happens a lot, and clicker at the beginning, and even with some experts in clicker training, that it usually is not a mistake. We don't call it mistakes, but whenever you think that you're stuck in training, you're probably chaining errors. You are thinking that you're reinforcing something that leads you to the correct behavior, but by doing that, you're also back-chaining the errors. And that was part of the talk. That's what I was saying. You should come to my talk.
They can't go to everything. Now I'm just going to... You know what, Hazel? What's going to happen is that I'll schedule 6 a.m. sessions just for you. 6 a.m. sessions just for you, so that people can come to it.
I was trying to get them to Chicago.
Oh, okay. My mistake.
Aaron, I have something to... This is more of a question than it is a comment on that. When you're talking about chaining mistakes, one of the problems that I'm starting to see with our behavior modification is we're getting these really well clicker-trained dogs, really clicker-wise, that are coming in. And so, for instance, we do what we call response substitution, DRI, DRA, DRO... but basically we're redirecting them to do something else, but I'm seeing dogs chain the behavior. Now, I also see the intention or the intensity of the behavior decreasing, and that's our ultimate goal. So I don't know how much of a problem it is, and we're sort of sitting with it and watching it to see what will happen, but I wondered kind of if you had any comments on that.
To break the chain, I think that you have to give a pause. Mm-hmm. A pause in the, like
you have to be on
about
what?
3 seconds
pause. Pause.
Have
a pause.
A 3 second pause or maybe a four, and then after that, then you can recall it or something, and then you're less likely to change the behavior.
Right. I my comment on that is I agree with Jesus. I the biggest thing for me is giving a when I say ignore the unwanted behavior, what I'm really suggesting is you interrupt your speed. If you normally reinforce at a really rapid rate, then maybe your pause is only a second or two. If you normally work at a slower rate, then maybe it is 3 seconds. But you're giving enough time for the animal to not be reinforced, but then you move on and give them opportunity to earn other reinforcement. Where the redirection procedure, I think, gets messed up for some people is, for me, I use redirection more when I want to save an animal from being in a difficult situation. And I don't pretend for a moment that I have taught it better. I have just saved it from getting into a fight. If I continually use that same type of redirection in the same instance, then shame on me for putting the animal in the same situation over and over again. The best... thank you. I wanted to pause to receive that nice reinforcement, but at the same time, I wanted to finish, and I completely forgot where I was going. But the point I was making was that that the redirection technique, in and of itself, will become a chain behavior, and often novice trainers will use the same redirection over and over again, and it does become chained. It sort of reinforces the behavior, and you can almost see the unwanted behavior, and the animal looks to you to go, now you're going to do something with me, right? And that's not what you're really looking for. What's interesting, though, is it's not. There's nothing magical about the 3 second pause. It's really about interrupting your flow. I have people when I do my seminars in Chicago where I work with the animals. Oftentimes, students of mine will watch me work with an animal. They'll see an animal make a mistake, and afterwards I say, are there any questions? And they say, you didn't do anything when that animal made it. You immediately went to another behavior. There wasn't even a pause. And I thought, no, there was a pause. It was just so brief, you didn't notice. But to me, it's like when I'm working with a sea otter who works, whose attention span, that I'm working at this fast pace, my pause is literally less than a second because I'm usually reinforcing faster than that. But if I'm working with a beluga whale who moves a little slower, then I might need to take a 5 second pause, or they wouldn't notice that I took a pause because they move at such a slow rate. So I think it's just interrupting the flow of reinforcement, but not so long that they ever get frustrated, just long enough so there was no reinforcement that came for the unwanted behavior, but then you re-engage them again to keep them on a positive trend.
Now, I should add that if you get into this problem that you actually change this behavior and you keep in reinforcing at the right time and this behavior and the other behaviors keep us there, keep on occurring, the best thing it is to retrain the behavior in a microchipping way, which is, think of this, and this part of the talk, think of this, that all behavior are cycles. And so what you have to do it is start beginning training at the beginning of the cycle, and you clean up all of those mistakes. But so retrain it very early, or the precursors very early, and then you clean those mistakes.
I see the problem, especially with advanced trainers who have dogs who are very keen, meaning they don't need a whole lot of frequent reinforcement. They'll work with a lean schedule of reinforcement. And really good trainers have so many options to keep the dog working and up that sometimes I think it can be in a disadvantage because the dog has either made a mistake or had mediocre performance, a little lackadaisical but sort of okay. And we just keep the dog moving and working toward reinforcement. And to be able to take into mind those brief pauses in the continuous flow a good trainer has with their animal are very meaningful, especially for trainers like us who tend to not use punishment. Our toolbox for what we do when there's a mistake really is limited. We're not going to correct the dog, yet we do want to be careful to still keep our differential reinforcement in place. We reinforce behaviors we like. We avoid reinforcement of behaviors we don't like. That's just as important. So it isn't a failure for you to be able to pinpoint the error. in a way that doesn't deflate the dog and make them not want to work with you, but yet you still don't want to get that error worked into your beautiful behavior chain. It can be hard to pull out. So paying attention to that slight break in the flow of training is something I actually think advanced trainers sometimes do less of because they have so many ways to sort of keep it going and up and moving. You just might want to try it. It's a really powerful technique.
Cool. Were you going to tell us how slow Gordon Setter is?
Can do. They're good teaching dogs because they allow you time to think what to do next.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a single error that often occurs, but I think often I see the same error occurring many times. Simple things like pulling on a lead. I don't start thinking about training the dog until I know I've taken away every reason that the dog pulled on the lead. And often the dog's pulling because there's some internal reinforcer for the person. I like my dog to be friendly, and it goes up to people and it pulls. It's practicing the behavior that you may not want in a different situation. But the person can say, oh, it doesn't matter if it does it now. A dog not responding to a cue in a performance, yes, you've asked it to spin or sit to heel, it probably doesn't come until the second or third time from the garden. You're teaching the dog, you're allowing the dog to practice something that you're going to change your goalposts for later on. That's unethical. So I look at where the person is probably causing the behavior to get stronger before we start putting in all the mechanics that will eliminate that error. Because if the reinforcers are still there, we're never going to eliminate the error. And often the reinforcers are unintentional in the first place. Something's given a kick to the person for it.
Michelle, not to put you on the spot, but I've seen your videos, and I know you may not be familiar with the idea of a performance failure. what do you do?
Well, that's the beauty of good ad-libbing. You didn't realize I made a mistake. It actually is one of the things in freestyle that's very tempting, because in freestyle, there's nothing particular specifically being judged. So if the dog makes an error during a performance, you truly can continue on and without any worry of like a scoring infraction if you make it look smooth and ad lib. But as the panel has said, you run the risk of reinforcing that mistake. I like to look at mistakes as information to me. And one piece of that is Karen's reaction, which is I hit myself on the head, you know, and say, well, that was stupid, Michelle. You didn't prepare the dog for that. But in a performance, I mean, I will admit at times there have been mistakes that I have just ignored and continued on. So by giving the next cue, that dog has been rewarded for that mistake. But you have to take it back to your training session and realize that I need to pull that behavior out and I need to retrain it and get it stronger again so I can hopefully prevent the mistake next time. Sometimes in performance with freestyle, there is a way to actually put one of these 3-second pauses in and ad lib that way. So you actually do get a little bit of a break in the flow and let the dog realize that the next cue was delayed a little bit. So that can work good. But I basically agree with everything that's been set up here. It's just that I am in a sport that does have the luxury of not everyone realizing sometimes that a mistake happened unless your dog bites you. So it is tempting sometimes to just go on, and that is a danger of creating a reward for that mistake.
Excellent. Thank you.
This KPCT podcast, sponsored by Clicker Expo. Take your training skills to the next level. The nation's top animal trainers work with you at Clicker Expo. For locations and dates of the next conference, visit www.clickerexpo.com or call 800-472-5425. That's 800-472-5425.